At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, a new Golf plug-in hybrid with almost 100 miles of EV range, the new Scout, Traveller and Terra, and electric school buses for Brooklyn. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you about another V2G trial, this time in the UK, using AC power. Hey, want to split £100? If you move to Octopus Energy and use my referral code, not only can you help keep the lights on at EV News Central, you can get yourself a nice welcome bonus of 50 quid as well. Let's split the money. You click on the link in the show notes if you would like to move over to Octopus and join me on my intelligent Go tariff, charging my car at 7p. It's a bargain. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Friday, 25th of October. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story. So you don't have to. Welcome to a new podcast producer, Brian Snar. Thank you so much, Brian, for signing up a few days ago. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free and some other benefits as well. You can be like Brian by clicking on a link in the show notes. Thank you, Brian. Really appreciate it. Let's get into the news about Scout coming back. Scout Motors is back in the United States. I'm going to put out a special podcast this weekend that's maybe 10 or 15 minutes with all of the details in, because I could probably make a separate podcast all about what they announced, which was two electric vehicles. The Traveller is the SUV. The Terra is the pickup. They're certainly channeling their legacy, the old International Harvester brand, which is no longer a thing anymore, was so very agricultural brand, these off-road vehicles sold in agricultural stores, really, alongside combine harvesters and things. And the brand went away. It ended up somewhere, obviously, as a line item within the Navistar business. A company called Traton bought Navistar. Volkswagen Group owned Traton. And so Volkswagen ended up with owning the Scout Motors brand, which 2 years ago they said, oh, we'll bring it back, and electric vehicles will be the order of the day. So it's a new brand. It's not Volkswagen. It is a new brand. They're not using Volkswagen bits, for instance. It's not an ID4 with a slightly different body. Both of them look really interesting, actually. Tailored for the US market, tailored for the off-road market as well. Very boxy. Two-tone colours, solid axles, locking differentials, a spare tyre. That's unheard of these days. And a split tailgate for easy cargo access. Big vehicles, by the way. 230 inches long. That's 5.8 metres compared to the Traveller. That's the SUV, which is a little shorter. 208 inches. That's 528 centimetres, 5.2 metres. A big bed, a 5.5 foot bed. Very robust design, sort of built-in tow hooks. Large wheel arches for fording and all that kind of stuff. So lots of off-road chops here. Lots of physical controls inside the cab. Obviously big screens, because big screens are the order of the day. And I suspect one day the big screens thing will go. But for now, if you're making a car, you have to have big iPad screens, don't you? And follow the Tesla way, as it were. And but lots of buttons and knobs in there as well, like the switch gear for the locking differentials is on the roof, where you'd probably maybe find the sunroof control, if that makes sense. So, up and out of the way. But it all looks very cool. Body on frame production, and the Traveller can tow 7,000 pounds. That's 3,175 kilograms. The Terra, which is the pickup, can tow more. 10,000 pounds. That's 4,500 kilograms. Now, Scout says that these are 2027 production vehicles, probably for a 2028 model year. It's a long way off, in fairness. It's a big ramp they've got to get there. 350 miles of range is the target, and you would think with battery technology improving, they would get there. 800-volt architecture. The surprise of the day was an EREV, a generator unit, an extended range, so it'll have a gas engine. Now, these both vehicles have large frunks, and I wonder whether they would put the engine there. So if you spec the EREV version, you lose the frunk, or maybe slightly smaller. I don't know. They've got to put it somewhere, haven't they? Probably from the Volkswagen parts bin. They'll find an engine that is only a generator, by the way. So always electrical power. Made in Blythewood, South Carolina. 200,000 vehicles a year capacity. Pricing starting at $60,000 before incentives. So if the federal tax credit is still around, not sure he'll win the election next month, nobody is. But if we do still have incentives, then they would apply and go down to just over $50,000 again. We're 3-4 years away. So let's come back to the pricing. I know everyone's very excited about that, but let's come back to that when the vehicles go on sale. The world is going to be a very different place in 3 or 4 years' time. They've called the gas range extender the Harvester, by the way, which is, you know, a nice throwback to the past. And that would give you 500 miles of range. So surely with a big tank of gas, you could get probably 500 miles of range on its own. And so that tells me that if the EREV version is 500 miles, that's probably a smaller battery pack. And they're putting in fewer batteries, lower capacity, more reliance on the gas engine. Because you can't, you know, you go, for, you know, the engine wouldn't just add 150 extra miles of range, would it? Anyway, I'll put together a special podcast this weekend and pop that into your feed. I think on Sunday, the way that my weekend is looking with the family and stuff like that, and I'm slightly behind recording this podcast anyway, and so it won't be Saturday, I don't think, but look out for that if you're interested. Now, let's talk about how the US electric vehicle sales are overtaking Europe. In the last quarter, the US achieved 344,000 new EVs sold. In the third quarter of the year, according to New Automotive Global Electric Vehicle Tracker, in Europe, several countries did do well. Belgium, Denmark, Italy, Norway, and Portugal saw EV sales rise by over 30% year on year. That's the month of September, not the quarter. Countries like Hungary, Malta, Netherlands, and Spain had even bigger increases for EV sales. But again, none of these are huge car markets. Of course, the UK is going through a bit of a good patch with EVs, and Germany, on the other hand, is suffering a little bit. The Chinese market, of course, is seeing a decline in internal combustion vehicle sales, but EVs are obviously up. Now, let's talk about a plug-in hybrid that gets proper decent range, and that's the new Volkswagen Golf. It's the new Mark 8.5, and for me, it's the one that comes with the proper steering wheel. So, the Mark 8 Golf, I think that was the Mark 8 when they launched it, still had the horrible shiny buttons that you have to brush your hand across, like in all the electric vehicles, which is one of the worst steering wheels out there. How it got signed off, I don't know. They did say, well, we've made the pressure harder on things like the heated steering wheel, so you can't just brush it when you're turning the wheel anymore. However, the Mark 8.5 Golf, that's the one that brings back buttons on the steering wheel, and they're not shiny, and you can feel your way around when you're driving and not take your eyes off of the road. And that, Volkswagen, is a very good thing. But there's better things than this, than just the steering wheel. Only just, though. And that is their new plug-in hybrid powertrain. So here in the UK, it goes so far on electric power that you pay just 5% benefit in kind tax if you're a company car driver. You have to pay a little bit of extra tax for your business giving you a free car, basically, to use at the weekend and take the kids to football and stuff. But normally it's, you know, 30-40% of the worth of the vehicle. There's a calculation. But you know, EVs are 2%. This Golf is only 5%. Now, for many people who drive for business, they might think, I still want the engine, and I'll go for that because it's 5% big tax. And it's, look, 88 miles of EV range. That's 141 kilometers. It's got an MNC, a nickel manganese cobalt battery, 20 kilowatt hours, double that of the old plug-in hybrid Golf. Yes, there is the Golf GTE that is more powerful, but this new Golf has been tuned for efficiency. So it uses their new TSI Evo 2 petrol engine, but also their new very efficient electric motor, all on the front axle, as it's, you know, it's the Golf two-wheel drive, but it all runs through the six-speed dual-clutch automatic transmission. Very, very efficient. Pricing starts at £37,000 here in the UK. That is 20% more expensive than the pure combustion versions, but like I say, if you're buying this through a business or you're doing this on a reason to have the, you know, your work car at home available for home use, you're paying very, very little tax here in the UK on that. And I think they can probably make hay, actually, while the sun shines. And the sun is shining today. It's a very lovely October day today. And I think that'll go down very, very well. That's almost 100 miles of EV range. That is, you know, more than nearly everyone needs in their day. If you are charging it overnight, fully charging it overnight, you don't even have to fully charge that thing. You'd almost never use the fuel. Hyundai are next in the news, introducing the RN24 prototype. It's a blend of the IONIQ 5N and their rally cars. It's a rolling lab. Let's not beat about the bush. This is not a road car. It's an 84 kilowatt hour battery with 641 horsepower, but it's crazy light. It's 1,800 kilograms. It has an open roll cage, so it's open to the elements. Like I say, this is not a car they're going to sell, but they're combining rally, electric, performance, WRC style, subframe and suspension to go and have a play with this and learn about how to make EVs in the future. And I love that Hyundai do quite bonkers things like this. Now, orders for the 2025 Ford e-Transit are open in the United States, and a minor decrease on the price as well. That's a really good thing. And the costs for the electric cargo van are comparable to the cost of the gasoline-powered Transit. The base price for both start at around $53,000 US, but you get a $2,000 rebate for commercial buyers to help with charging costs. Some new factory-installed trade packages for specific industries, like a cutaway model at $47,000, a chassis cab, and a standard cargo model as well. Now, some good news, more stability and leadership at Tesla's supercharging network team. We need Tesla to be firing all cylinders that's probably the wrong thing to say about electric vehicles, isn't it? But with their charging network does lead the way, not only in terms of how many stalls, but where they're doing it, the speed of the rollout. And you may know, if you're a long-time listener, that Tesla laid off their entire charging network team earlier this year. In a fit of rage, the CEO was said to have been annoyed by the previous head of supercharging team and general charging. It was Rebecca Tannucci pushing back on how many people in her team that she had to fire. And ultimately, the CEO was said to have, in a fit of rage, fired the lot of them. Many were hired back subsequently in the following weeks, by the way. And there's a new head. Michael Snyder is the new head of charging infrastructure. He's the vice president there of energy and charging. Not an official announcement, just noticed it on his LinkedIn page, which is good. And following those layoffs in April, hopefully some more stability. The energy bit of the business is very crucial, with megapacks and Powerwall and solar technology all growing very fast. But the supercharging network really does lead the way. I told you recently on the podcast about a new installation in California with 168 stalls in a single site. And other networks are going, hey, here's our new flagship site with four chargers. And you go, oh, man, I just kind of think we're past that. It's kind of 10 years ago saying, hey, here's our new four bits of hardware. Okay, maybe they can charge two cars at once. Maybe it's eight charging bays, but still, that's not good enough. Now, stick around. When we come back, we'll talk about going flying with electric power and why EV battery material costs are dropping. Stick around. Back in a mo. Welcome back to the podcast. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. If you heard a couple of ads there because you're listening to the free ad-supported feed, firstly, that's very cool. Thank you for doing that. And if you'd like to save even more time, you can strip out the ads by getting your unique RSS link on your Patreon dashboard at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. $5, $10 a month, sometimes more. Many people pay more, by the way, and support the work that I do here. I say support the work. You physically pay my wages. This is all I do now. I've given up all of my other work, the Formula One podcasts, the radio stuff is a long time in the past as well, dedicating my life to spreading the word about electric vehicles, clean energy, and how we move around in the future. And hopefully, well, I can see the download figures going up all the time. Hopefully, we're reaching a wider audience and spreading the word about e-mobility and actually fighting through some of the crazy headlines that have been out there over the past 9 months, 1 year, to do with the electric vehicle market. So thank you very much to everyone on Patreon who directly gets this show on the air. Without you, I would have to do something else to pay my bills. Now, 12 electric school buses are soon going to be transporting students in Brooklyn, a project with Con Edison and First Student. Con Edison put $9 million into the initiative, replacing old school diesel buses to cut down on pollution and noise. Electric school buses enhance the air quality, they lower the greenhouse gas emissions, they save costs as well for the school districts, and they generate more clean energy jobs. They'll be equipped with smart energy management software for efficient charging, and they'll feature solar panels on their roofs. Charging happens at the depot on Malta Street, if you know it, with a 500 kilowatt solar array and a 2 megawatt battery. The emissions from diesel are associated with very serious health problems like heart disease and asthma for the children and the bus drivers themselves. It's a very common misconception, because the exhaust pipe is often out the side or the back of a vehicle, that you are throwing those fumes away from the vehicle that you're in, good luck to the person behind you. Hey, have some cancer. No, there's huge amounts of research, and it's beyond debate now, that the many of the fumes that the vehicles emit go back into the vehicle that we're emitting them, which when we are taking our children to school in the morning, picking them up at the end of the day and dropping them off, that we are... Now we have that knowledge, willfully killing our children. I think it's a very good thing that we are moving to electric school buses in the US as quick as possible. Diesel exhaust contributes to acid rain and ground level ozone. They negatively impact agriculture and ecosystems. We know all this by now, but the big thing is, let's not put children on school buses with the windows open and the diesel fumes coming right back inside. And like I say, and a higher rate of heart disease for and asthma for school bus drivers, beyond doubt. And so let's please do the right thing by not only the future generations, but the people who drive them to school as well. Hey, EV battery material costs are dropping 60%. Between January and August, the global market added 505 gigawatt hours of new battery capacity, according to Adamas Intelligence. The growth accompanies a notable increase in hybrid vehicle adoption, which use smaller batteries. Back in 2023, last year, battery capacity for plug-in hybrids surged 70%, while fully electric passenger vehicles were up 15%. The average battery capacity for a plug-in hybrid rose by 14%, and making up about a third of the average capacity of fully electric vehicles. Despite these developments, the outlook for miners supplying the EV sector is challenging. If you look at lithium, nickel, cobalt, manganese, graphite, all those costs are significantly going down. The overall raw materials cost for the average EV, and I haven't got what the average EV, according to this intelligence firm, class, maybe it's 50 kilowatt hours, perhaps, is now, it says here, for the minerals, materials, $537. That is down from $1,300 this time last year, and $1,900 2 years ago, as we're coming out of the pandemic. Lithium prices are responsible for dropping the most, with the average cost per EV falling by 75%. Cobalt is down, manganese is down, and graphite has remained probably about stable. Okay, moving on. Archer Aviation, which I rate very highly. I'm watching the eVTOL space, electric vertical takeoff and landing. I quite like general aviation anyway. Not that I fly, but it is... if not a passion, of interest to me. Like, I have the flight radar app on my phone, for instance. And when I see if I see something going across the sky, sometimes I'll take the phone out and have a look at what's flying and, you know, the aircraft and things like that. I'm not exactly tracking call signs, but not far off. So I love the idea of going flying electrically. And Archer Aviation are at the forefront of that in the US, and they've just shown strong approval for the FAA's recent release of their special regulations, which are going to be essential for pushing ahead, and the industry can now move to the next stage of electric vertical takeoff and landing. All right, let's move on and talk about a new vehicle to grid trial here in the UK, spearheaded by Hangar 19 and CrowdCharge. The initiative focuses on adding affordable chargers using AC current only. So this doesn't pull DC from the vehicle. It's purely AC vehicle to grid. We've been doing these trials for years, haven't we? Of course, in Japan, they've been going on for years because they use CHAdeMO, but this isn't. This is AC bidirectional, which they say is more efficient at lower power levels, suitable for workplace and home use, and it cuts charging costs as well, but you have to have a specific vehicle like a Genesis, a Hyundai, a Kia, or an MG 4.5 or ZS to take part in the trial. And finally, Hyundai Glovis has introduced a new fire extinguishing device specifically for EVs on their transport vessels. Now, they move vehicles around the world on the oceans, and they want to improve safety during transit. The logistics arm of Hyundai Motor Group is called Hyundai Glovis, and they've unveiled their new EV drill Lance. That uses very high water pressure to create an opening in the vehicle's undercarriage. Firefighters on ship can then have direct access to the battery pack, enabling more more effective fire suppression. Wowee, those battery packs certainly have some pretty hardcore packaging around them, let's say that, and cases. And so this is using what, high pressure water to just bore a hole in your battery pack. That is some crazy water pressure, how it's being described. In September, Hyundai Motor Group donated 250 of these new EV drill lances to the National Fire Agency, according to Hyundai. Glovis could reach the battery pack in under 2 minutes and extinguish a fire within 30 minutes. The EV drill lances are tailored for maritime use, featuring adjustable handles for use in tight spaces, and they've got lights on them as well for visibility if it's dark where the firefighters have to go in. So that's great news. Things getting safer all the time. That's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you over the weekend for your bonus shows. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.